So we'll be focusing on this Psalm 46 tonight. And many of you may know that this psalm is actually one of the favorite psalms of Martin Luther. As during the Reformation, he composed a famous hymn titled "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," which is based on this Psalm 46. And some commentators mentioned that Luther often encouraged his co-workers, the other reformers, by saying, quote, "Come, let us sing the 46th psalm, and let the enemies do their worst." So as we know from this quote, this psalm really gave Luther and other reformers great strength and encouragement in the midst of really difficult trials and difficulties during their days of Reformation. Some people even claim that this psalm to be the so-called theme song of the Reformation. Indeed, this Psalm 46 does, I think, give us a strong encouragement by starting, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And actually, I think this statement in the beginning is really a good summary of what the psalmist says in the rest of the psalm. This psalm has three stanzas, each divided by the word Selah. And this word Selah is an ambiguous word, and some people say the meaning of this word is as like a stop or pause, which kind of punctuates psalms in their meaning and development. Others claim that this word Selah is rather a kind of like musical or reading instruction. In the case of this Psalm 46, the three stanzas divided by the word Selah, I think, really beautifully develop the thought of the psalmist, in which he expresses why he can declare with such a confidence, "God is our refuge and strength." We want to think tonight why this psalmist can be so confident. In other words, where does his conviction come from? Which encouraged Martin Luther and other reformers 500 years ago, and still encourages us even today. The key is found in one particular statement found in both verses 7 and 11, the last verses of both the second and the third stanza. Here the psalmist repeats, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." So in other words, he believes that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, because the Lord himself is with him. Because the Lord himself is with him. And this is really a wonderful encouragement, both for this psalmist and for us living today. We heard this morning from Psalm 73 that God has been good to us, and him being with us, being near us, is the goodness we are given. But this Psalm 46 too, this psalm focuses on the fact that the Lord is with us. So today we want to pay attention and reflect upon this really delightfully heartening idea as we look at the sequence, the flow of this very psalm. So now first let us look at the first stanza, which is in verses 1 through 3. And in this first stanza, the psalmist here describes sort of like the background of his fear. In this stanza, the psalmist pictures the sort of like the chaotic circumstances around him. Verses 2 and 3 read, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. In the scriptures, mountains are often used as sort of like a symbol of order or a symbol of stability. Whereas the sea is opposite. The sea represents the chaos, the chaotic situation. Therefore, the psalmist here is illustrating a situation where everything is sort of like falling into chaos here. However, even under such a circumstance, he still boldly proclaims, therefore we will not fear, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Brothers and sisters, have you ever had the same sort of experience as this psalmist? We are surrounded by chaos every day, as we've looked at in as we've thought about this morning. We are the world we live in is chaotic, so to say. But does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever felt like the world around you is actually falling apart? Maybe some of you here have experienced such a horrible experience in your life that made you really feel that the world around you is actually falling apart. But if not in a larger scale, it still happens to many of us, or I should say all of us, regularly on a smaller scale. It feels like the whole world is actually falling apart. That is the psalmist's experience here. And it is not unusual for God's people on this earth. We are surrounded by the world that is affected by the sin. By the sin of mankind. In a sense, we must recognize sort of like the tension between us who belong to God, who are God's people, and this fallen world affected by sin. There is and there must be a tension between us and this world. And this is the situation in which we find that our God is really our refuge and our strength. Nevertheless, I think it is still very challenging for us to sort of control our emotions, such as fear. We don't normally think, or we can't really think, you know, let us only try fear twice today when we wake up in the morning. We feel that fear is rather something that happens to us. If circumstances hit us sort of like unexpectedly or suddenly, we become afraid, or we fear, don't we? Actually, in this Psalm 46, the psalmist here is also sort of hit by sudden trouble. Like the stable mountains are moving into the midst of a chaotic sea. Then why is this psalmist not afraid? Because he knows that God is his refuge, his strength, and his present help. In other words, we often fear because we think our God is absent. This is again the thing we looked at this morning for Psalm 73. We feel God is absent, or he is not concerned with us. When I was a young child, I had an experience of being lost in a large supermarket in Japan, and And some of you may you know think how crowded and how busy the Japanese you know supermarkets are. And I panicked when that suddenly happened to me. I felt like, you know, I won't be able to see my mom and dad again forever in my life. And looking back that experience, I think I was afraid, I feared, because my parents, the ones who guided me and protected me, were actually absent at that time. Likewise, we fear when we feel our Lord, our God, who is supposed to be protecting us and encouraging us and helping us, is absent from our life. But overcoming our fears, I think, is easier said than done. It is still sometimes difficult for us to control our fear, even when we remember that God is our refuge and strength. You know, even when we as Christians, we still remember God is with us, we often fear, don't we? Then how are we able to feel the same way the psalmist have felt? What did the psalmist know that enabled him to really conquer his fear in the midst of this chaotic situation? These questions draw us into the next stanza of this psalm. So let us now look at the second stanza, which is in verses 4 through 7. In the second stanza, the psalmist takes his eyes off the earth around him and he turns his attention to the reality in heaven. In other words, he lifts his eyes upwards into away from the chaotic situation around him on this earth, and he lifts his eyes upward into heaven, and there he sees peace. Indeed, the same thing is happening in the experiences in the experience of the people of God, I think, in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, God's people, the Christians living in the midst of suffering and persecution, are shown the heavenly reality, the heavenly worship of God. So we as God's people, first of all, find our ultimate peace in the reality of heaven. It is there in heaven where the psalmist first sees a river in the city of God. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Here is a sort of like a contrast between raging waters of the earthly sea and the quiet waters of this heavenly river. There is destruction by the earthly sea, but the life is given by this heavenly river. And this life-giving river flowing from God's very presence is also a common theme in the Bible. We can see this illustration first in the Garden of Eden. See, there were four rivers flowing in the garden. And also in the completed New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, there is this life-giving river. So after seeing this river, the psalmist next sees that God himself is in the midst of this city. And this psalm says, therefore, she shall not be moved. Please notice that this verse intentionally uses the same words as the first stanza. The mountains are thought to be solid and stable. But where did they move into? Where did they end up? They moved into the midst of the chaotic sea. But this city of God will not be moved because God is in the midst of her. Her confidence is that God will help her when morning dawns, just as morning sunlight drives away the darkness. So this presence of God himself is the very reason why this city is not moved, shall not be moved. However, if you turn to the next verse, we still see the echo of the earthly chaos even in this scene of heaven. In the next verse, verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Here we see the nations roaring like the sea. Here again, the same word occurs here. The nations here are roaring like sea. The chaos here is personalized in the form of nations. But what happens next? God speaks and the threat melts. The psalmist then concludes this second stanza with the statement, "The Lord of hosts is with us." The phrase of hosts literally means of armies. So this phrase really indicates the God's mighty power, his military power. The imagery of this powerful, mighty God of armies being with us. Actually, this continues in the third final stanza, which we will consider next. But in the second stanza, the psalmist kind of illustrates the heavenly reality, the heavenly peace that is contrasted with the first earthly the earthly chaos in the first stanza. But now let us turn to the third stanza, and here the psalmist fixes his eyes on the earth again. He says, "Come, behold," and what does he see here? What do we see here? We see the desolation which God has brought on the earth. We come and we see God's work judging the wicked. He makes the wars cease by breaking the bows, spears, and chariots. And then God says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. This phrase, knowing God, knowing that He is our God, is not just not simply a philosophical concept, so to say. Knowing God means much more than just having knowledge of Him. In fact, we see this phrase used often in Exodus, where we see God actually revealing himself as a deliverer of his people, the Lord really working in his people and really delivers his people out of the bondage of Egypt. For instance, Exodus, the first two verses of Exodus 10 reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord.'" That you may know that I am the Lord. So here you see that God is not simply a God who is merely up in heaven in a quiet, peaceful place, disconnected from the chaos of this world. But rather, the Lord of the army, the Lord of hosts, intervenes with this world, and he really interacts with his people on this earth. He is not just merely looking us from a distance in heaven, but instead he is actually with us on this earth. And first of all, we can see this from his great works in the past. He is the Lord who delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. I think this psalmist here is really reflecting upon the actual history of the people of the Israelites. He is the Lord who delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. He is the Lord who judged Israel's enemy, Pharaoh, in Exodus, by bringing desolation to his army. So the psalmist here is not just sort of vaguely recognizing that the Lord is with him, but rather he is confirming that by looking to the past actual history, which proves that God has been in charge. So firstly, he looks back to the history, to the past, to confirm God's presence with his people. But then this psalm extends its view to an eschatological focus, as the Lord is seen being exalted among the nations of the earth. The second part of verse 10 reads, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Here, I think we see a clear echo of Psalm 2, which we've sung in the beginning of this service. As Psalm 2 praises, when the nations rage against the Lord's anointed, the Messiah, the Lord breaks them like clay vessels. The time is coming when these enemies will face their end. As we've looked at this morning, God is just simply patient with those wicked people, but there is a judgment appointed to those who do not fear him, who fear God. And so we notice here in this psalm that the psalmist is not only looking to the past, but also looking forward. The very fact that God will bring an end to all his enemies. So this psalmist first looks to the past, and then he also looks forward. But after that, the psalmist concludes this whole psalm by repeating the same phrase of verse 7 again in verse 11. He emphasizes that the Lord of armies is with us, and therefore he is our fortress. The Lord who has delivered his people from Egypt and brought desolation to their enemies in the past, and the Lord who will bring end to all his enemies and be exalted among the nations in the future, is with us in the present. And that is why the psalmist is so confident. That is why he does not fear in the midst of the chaotic situation. So far, we have examined why this psalmist can so boldly say, "God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble," without being afraid in the midst of chaos. He knows the Lord, not just by intellectual thinking, but he really knows that the Lord is with him by looking to the past and to the future. But now, I'd like to think more about this psalm, specifically with its connection to Jesus Christ, which I think leads us to applying this text more clearly in our daily life. In fact, the meaning of this psalm becomes more vivid to us when we consider its connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have perceived that this psalmist could truly recognize that God is not in the distance, but he is with him in the present as he contemplates God's work in the past and in the future. But brothers and sisters, let us consider how much greater privilege we have than this psalmist did. Yes, this psalmist, as well as the Israelites, the people of God in the Old Testament, they could look back to their experience in the Exodus from Egypt. Or maybe later they could remember God's control and help in when they came back from Babylon. They saw God's judgment poured out upon Babylon, which led them able to return to Jerusalem. However, they had to still look forward to the final accomplishment of God's redemption, God's salvation, which was completed by Jesus Christ, as we know. But how about us? We are given the privilege of seeing this fulfillment of God's great work of redemption through his Son Jesus, through his cross and resurrection. Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world for our sake, to accomplish redemption by sacrificing himself on the cross as an atonement for our sin. He paid our ransom. In fact, we see a surprising twist here, I think. In this Psalm 46, it is the earth with the raging nations that melted before the Lord. It is God's enemies who are supposed to experience God's wrath. However, on the cross, it was Jesus Christ who experienced God's wrath, his Father's wrath. And we see the greatest desolation here on the cross when God pours out his wrath upon his own Son. The Father is not being a refuge for Jesus Christ on his cross. But through this, Jesus accomplished all these things for the sake of our sin. We are the ones who are supposed to experience God's wrath. But Jesus Christ has done that for the sake of ourselves. And we know that Jesus' ministry on earth did not end on his cross, but rather he gained victory over the power of death and over the power of Satan by raising up from the dead on the third day and ascended into heaven and at the right throne of our Father. Jesus continues to rule over this earth. He continues to intercede for us with God the Father by sending us his Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans, "Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us." Through his work, we can truly be with our God. We can be truly with the Lord. Jesus really accomplished the meaning of his his given title, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. As we looked this morning, he really encouraged his disciples in his great commission. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always to the end of the age. So we as Christians, we as ones who are given faith by God's grace, we have been given faith to observe this Christ's redemptive work in the past and in the actual history. And then we also await for Jesus Christ's second coming to judge the world in the future. The book of Revelation ends with the expectation of Jesus' coming. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Indeed, this is what we remember when we participate in the Lord's Supper also. I think we always read from 1 Corinthians, the very famous passage we hear every time when we participate in communion. Here Paul writes, in the same way he took the cup also after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me, meaning we remember Christ's death and resurrection in the past. And then Paul continues, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death and in the present until he comes, meaning until he comes in the future. So here also you see this past, future, and present aspect. So as God's people, we are able to look back to Jesus' cross and resurrection for the very sake of our redemption in the past. And then we also look forward to this Christ coming in the future to judge this world. And by doing so, we live in present, encouraged by recognizing that God is with us through the work of Christ and through the Holy Spirit he sends from heaven. By doing so, we can fully be encouraged and enjoy this Psalm 46 by really recognizing that the Lord is with us now, as he has shown us by the work of Jesus Christ. So as the psalmist was encouraged by this psalm, and as was Martin Luther and other reformers 500 years ago, let us truly appreciate and be encouraged by this wonderful truth from our Lord tonight. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.